PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Live and local on 1400 AM and 96.9 FM KVOE. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps here with you again on this lovely mid-May morning. Tim Miller has the Saturday off. Dylan Sherwood is back to work in the penalty box. Dylan, how are you today?
I'm all right, Blake. Another busy week, and it's going to be that way next couple weeks. And as the spring season and high school season wraps up here in a couple weeks.
That it will. Of course, we will both kind of be out. We're going to get some interviews recorded for you for Memorial Day weekend, because neither of us will be here, because we'll be down at Cessna Stadium, or what's left of it, covering the state track and field championships for you all day on Friday, and then for as long as we have athletes in and running on Saturday on KVOE. So hopefully, we were planning on being there all day on Saturday, and we hope that the athletes will accommodate that by competing for some state championships that afternoon.
Yeah, it's one of the great events to cover in the state of Kansas.
Be my first one. My first state.
Really?
Track. Yeah.
All right. Well,
didn't really do that much state track coverage at the stations that I was at in Wichita.
Well, let's see. This will be my seventh.
Seventh. Okay.
Seventh of an 8-year career, missing 1 year due to COVID. So.
Sure. Yep, I can see why they would have canceled that. And obviously, coming up on the show today, by the way, earlier this week, we had an interview with the new Emporia High girls basketball coach, Taylor Scott. That'll be coming up in segment one here today. And then Steve Roadcap, the assistant athletic director at Emporia State. He is the meet director for the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships. And we'll talk to him about that huge event that's coming up that same weekend, Memorial Day weekend. That'll be around 8:44 here today, and then get you set for all of our coverage this weekend. Speaking of which, if you stayed up late last night, then you heard the Royals pull out a 2-1 victory over the Angels with a two-run homer by Adam Frazier, just sneaking out to right field to get the win for Kansas City. It was close late, but I couldn't make it. I could not stay awake for the end of this game.
I made it. Unfortunately, before I came in this morning. So I'm kind of feeling it, but I'm glad the Royals got the job done last night. I was watching the NBA playoffs last night as well, so I was able to watch the Apple TV broadcast. And, Blake, what's interesting with the Apple TV broadcast, you can switch announce teams, so you can change it to the Royals radio network listen to the Royals. You can listen to Steve Stewart and Jake Eisenberg. So I was able to do that, and that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the future. And there have been times where people have said, "Oh, well, they ought to produce a channel that has no announcers on it." Like, I don't know if that would be that good, but yeah, everybody wants that. And I mean, you look at what they're doing now with national championship games, when ESPN will put the national championship on like 7 channels. And like, well, okay, on this channel we've got these guys, and you've got, like, for the Super Bowl we have the Manning cast, and then we have the visiting radio radio team, the home radio team, the Spanish radio team, Bill Belichick sitting in the studio with a couple, with Nick Saban and a couple of guys, you know, so there's people definitely for those big events have shown that they will, if you give them options, they will consume other, you know, versions of the game if you will let them. And they'll also have the primary play-by-play guys. They'll have, you know, Chris Fowler on there, and it'll be okay. Well, here's the regular camera, but here's the all 22 camera, here's the camera from the end zone, you know, so you can watch the game in different ways. So yeah, it's, they're definitely coming up with new ideas. They want you to watch, that's for sure. The other thing I thought that was interesting about the Royals game was the fact that they put out John Schreiber to get the save, because they have been having some trouble with the save, two straight blown saves for MacArthur. I don't know if this is a sign of any kind of change of philosophy. I think they still have confidence in MacArthur. I mean, MacArthur in his last nine appearances had not given up a run, but I did think it was very interesting that he went out. Tyler Duffy was good in relief, had got another good start from Marsh, who really, really worked his four-seam fastball. I think his four-seam fastball, over 50% of his pitches were the fastball. So, yeah, man, Royals pitching continues to be good. Before we take a break, we do have two more weeks of the Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. Of course, next week is our big awards show, in which we will honor the Emporia Main Street, Emporia High, and Area Athletes and Coaches of the Year. So that's coming up next week here on the show. But Dylan, who do you got for our Emporia Main Street, Emporia High Athlete of the Week?
I got a very strong nomination from Coach Jamie Dawson. It's not Allie Weiss, unfortunately.
And that also would have been a very strong selection.
That would have been a very strong selection, but
won the Centennial League Championship.
Yes, yes. But Ryan Peak is what Coach Dawson gave me, and you know, she put the Lady Spartans in potential position to potentially be at state. They had a state consideration time in the 200 free relay team. She was seeded sixth in the 200 free and swam the fourth best time at league, dropped 6 seconds, just missed a state consideration time, had a PR in the 50, and then both of the relays, the 200 and the 400, had two PRs as well. So, and Ryan, a senior as well, a three-sport athlete. So Ryan Peak of the Emporia High Girls Swim Team, our Emporia Main Street Emporia High Athlete of the Week.
And, of course, those swimmers will be learning today where they are going if their times made it. I think it's the same for track and field as well.
Yeah.
And then how about our area Athlete of the Week?
Well, this one happened on Tuesday down at the Emporia Golf Course in the Flint Hills League Golf Championships. But Drew Buckman shot a 65.
Straight domination for him and his whole team, the Braves. Wow.
6 under and won the tournament by 18 strokes.
I think that his team won by, what, like 40-something?
40, yeah.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
And that was a personal best for him as well. He had, like, I think he had like a 68 or something earlier this year that was that I saw, but this one was a little bit more impressive.
Sure.
So Drew Buckman of the Council Grove Boys Golf Team is our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week. There was a lot of others thrown into the mix, you know, with Emporia High and with our area selections this week. Got to give a big honorable mention to first for Emporia High, Will Walker, 3 under 68 on Wednesday in the Emporia Invitational. And also, I got a nomination from Jessica Knuth of the Opie Girls Track Team. She wanted to nominate her whole team for the award this
week. That's not how that works.
I was like, just thanks for the nomination. I appreciate it. And then Trinity Wendell of the Hartford Girls Track and Field Team.
Sure.
So those were our couple of nominations I got personally. So, But yeah, a couple more weeks of it. Excited for next Saturday.
Yep,
too.
Our next Saturday award show will be right here at 8:15 on KVOE. And congratulations to our Emporia Main Street, Emporia High, and Area Athletes of the Week. If you had an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of us here at KVOE. Call us during business hours 9 to 5 at 620-342-1400, or you can get a hold of Dylan Sherwood D at KVOE.com, Sherwood D at KVOE.com. We'll take a timeout. Earlier this week, we talked with the new Emporia High girls basketball coach, Taylor Scott. That's coming up next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com on KVOE, live and local.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at EmporiaMainStreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, why wait to get Memorial Day offers when you can get them today? Like a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 was $57,290, now only $49,835 with your trade-in. That's $74.55 off MSRP. Or lease a 2024 Chevy Blazer EV RS model for only $479 a month. Or save $1,000 off MSRP on a 2024 Chevy Trailblazer. Or get 1.9% APR with approved credit. And active duty, reserve, and retired military get an extra $500 bonus cash. You won't find a better deal anywhere than right here at Longbine Auto Plaza. So don't wait. Get great Memorial Day offers at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia today or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Lease payments based on 36-month, 10,000 miles per year lease. $2,700 due signing with approved credit.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Congratulations to UCLA, who won their second straight men's D1 volleyball championship last weekend. The top-seeded Bruins defeated Long Beach State to capture the program's 21st title, which is the most all-time. UCLA is led by head coach John Spurrough. Winning championships has become routine for him at this point. He won two as a player with the Bruins in the 90s, then stayed on with the program as an assistant and helped his predecessor Al Skates win three more titles. Spurrough then won three national championships as the head coach at UC Irvine before returning to Westwood in 2012. Last season was UCLA's first title in 17 years, and now Spurrough's squad has restored the program to dominance.
These guys have just done an amazing job for the program, winning this senior class, winning two, and putting this program back on top after the long number of too many years where UCLA hadn't been, and finally we were able to accomplish that goal.
Bad luck for the Bruins on the sand. Next on This Week in the NCAA.
The good folks at Wendy's have a revolutionary new product for you. Introducing the new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. It's like a time machine that takes you all the way back to now, the year 2024. It's the classic, creamy, orangey flavor you remember. Dare I say, it's new timey. It's the flavor you grew up with, just all grown up. Head over to your local Wendy's establishment and get yours while supplies last. The new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. Here for the now, for now.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's.
USC women's beach volleyball team, who won their fourth straight national championship last weekend. The Trojans defeated UCLA in the title match for the third time in the last four seasons. Women's beach volleyball has only been recognized by the NCAA since 2016. Either USC or UCLA has won every national championship since then. The Trojans have six of those titles, and USC finished this year 37-5. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Obviously, big happenings around the Emporia High area this week as we get to know the new girls basketball coach, which is not somebody new. It's Taylor Scott, who has been on Carolyn Dorsey's staff for the last 4 years. She has been promoted to the head coach this week, and Dylan and I were able to get an interview with her on Thursday after she was announced as the new head coach earlier in the week. Well, Coach Scott, congratulations so much. thanks for your time as well. What were your feelings personally when you found out and started hearing that this may be a possibility for you to become the next head coach of the Lady Spartan basketball team?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Obviously, I really enjoyed my time working with Coach Dorsey, and it's been a really great experience learning from her and working with her and for her. But I decided to kind of, you know, throw my name into that hat because I just really love working with the Lady Spartan basketball program, and that's been something that I've been doing for a while, and it felt like the right next step for me.
Coach, what does it mean you know, it's going to be a learning curve for you, but you're very familiar with the girls in the program?
Yeah, there will be a little bit of a learning curve, but, you know, I'm really passionate about what I do. I'm passionate about the relationships that I have with the student-athletes and my coaching staff and really just the community and the people that I work with in general. We do have a young kind of squad coming up. Obviously, only Kaylee DeWitt and Adea have had some experience as far as varsity minutes last year a little bit, but you know, there's a group of freshmen that I worked with last year with Coach Stewart on that JV squad, and they've put a lot of time in together. So that's been kind of a blast getting them to really learn how to compete last year because they did have to play up in some JV games instead of having a freshman team. So they kind of got fed to the fire a little bit, and it was really good for them. And then that eighth grade group I worked with at the middle school level, and that's a really fun group as well. They've played a lot of ball together as well, and I know that they've been playing together a little bit as this school year is kind of winding down. So just really excited to mix the returning group back with those incoming freshmen and see what we can piece together.
Taylor Scott is our guest. She is the new head coach for Emporia High Basketball, appearing on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line with us here on SMST. Coach, when you take over for somebody like Coach Dorsey, who had set the level so high in her decade plus with the program, obviously people will have to understand, you know, the team that you guys had last year was a generational team in terms of Emporia High being so great historically and such a huge senior-laden roster. Taking over for somebody who was a Lady Spartan herself and also a Lady Hornet, what does that mean to you in order of trying to maintain the tradition and standard that you helped set because you were on those staffs too and on those teams? But how, what do you look at in terms of the challenge of trying to maintain the standard that you've helped set for Lady Spartan basketball these last 4 years?
Yeah, obviously we've had a really great last couple of seasons. We've had some really great kids, and Coach Dorsey is a really great coach. But I'm really looking forward to kind of taking over and putting a little bit of my own spin on things. But some of those standards are obviously going to stay the same. We want the Lady Spartan basketball team to represent our school in a positive manner, which they've done a great job of the last few years, but that's going to always be a constant for us. We want to continue that academic success that our girls have always had in the classroom. That's really a priority for us and something that we really harp on during practice. And then just as far as the game goes, we want to be first to the floor. We want to be the tougher team. We want to play harder than the other team. And it's going to take us a little while to find our personality with such a young group. But just look for us to be a tough team and look for us to make those hustle plays.
What's big this summer for the girls and knowing they have to be ready to take another big role? Like you mentioned about Kaylee DeWitt and Adea Hefner, who played a little bit this last season under the 12 seniors. What's big for your basically newcomers?
Well, some of those returners are going to kind of step into a leadership role. You know, they got to learn from those seniors last year, this last season, and they got to kind of sit back and, you know, grind with them a little bit during practice, but they're going to step into a role that's going to be a little bit different for them. So it's going to take a little bit of time for them to kind of adjust into that leadership role. But I think that they'll be ready for that challenge whenever those incoming eighth graders come up to that freshman group, and they'll be able to lead them in the correct way.
Taylor Scott is our guest, the new girls basketball coach for Emporia High. Coach, how much of a comfort level do you get from having, for the most part, most of your coaching staff and the coaches you've worked with at the varsity level, for the most part, back with you in helping you in this transition?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big deal for me. When I had talked to Bo about potentially becoming the next head basketball coach at Emporia High School. You know, we talked about potential assistant coaches, and I had talked to Bob and I had talked to Brett, and I knew that they wanted to come back if as long as I would have them. But the talk about two guys that are just willing to do whatever it takes to help make those girls better and make our program better and represent our school in a positive manner. I can't say enough good things about them, and it really is a great comfort knowing that I have those two in my corner for sure.
So you'll still have a coaching position, an assistant coach to fill with Bob and Brett coming back?
Yeah, we'll be looking for a freshman coach, but Brett will still be our JV coach and Bob will still be helping as well. So we definitely will be searching for a freshman coach, but it'll be nice to have those two back as well.
Coach, you mentioned that the girls need to find their personality because they're going to be in a different position. You're going to have to be in a different position. How do you go about finding your own personality? Because like you said, you know, while you probably believe a lot of the things that Coach Dorsey preached in terms of how she wants to run the basketball team, what offense, what defense you're going to run, you know, that kind of thing. But you do now have your own license to put your own spin on it and change things up and make things a little bit different if you want to. How do you go about finding your own personality as a head coach?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to spend a lot of time this summer kind of getting to know what our personality is as far as the team goes, and kind of figure out what we are going to be super successful with. So as far as our team is concerned, we'll get a lot of that stuff figured out this summer and kind of before summer starts, meeting with my coaching staff. But, you know, it'll be a little bit different for me being the head coach. I'm traditionally, you know, a little bit quiet on the sideline, I think sometimes it looks like, but, you know, it's all about the relationships with the girls. And I think that I would do a decent job of leading by example. And, you know, that's really something I pride myself on. Anything that I ask of anybody, I'm always going to give all of that in return. So that's really kind of what I lean into. And that's kind of my personality is, I don't like to be outworked, and so that's something that I take pride in as far as my personality goes on the sideline.
Are you ready to have your first difficult conversation with an official about a call you don't like?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that'll happen at some point.
I bet it will.
I'm usually pretty calm and collected on the sideline for the most part, so that'll definitely be an interesting experience for sure.
Coach, do you feel like December 6th will be here in a hurry and maybe even the first week of practice in middle of November?
Oh, I'm sure it'll keep up pretty fast. I'm really excited to start working with these girls this summer, but yeah, I'm sure that December date will sneak up pretty quick.
Taylor Scott, our guest, she is the head girls basketball coach for Emporia High. Obviously, everybody knew whether you came back, Coach Dorsey was here, it was going to be a huge roster rebuild. There aren't a whole lot of times in high school. It happens every once in a while, mm-hmm. but you don't normally turn over like 99% of your scoring and 99% of your rebounding like you guys did this year with this amazing senior class that you had. So you know that you had a huge roster rebuild that's going to happen, and that was going to happen no matter who's the coach. How ready do you feel like the next group is on that JV squad? And like you said, they're the players that you've been working with, and how hungry are they for the opportunity to get some varsity time and knowing that just about every spot, 1 through 5 and then 5 through 9, however deep your rotation is, there are 9 spots up for grabs on varsity this year. How hungry are they for that opportunity?
Yeah, they're definitely hungry. You know, they really looked up to that senior group that we had this last year. But these girls have been working together a lot, not only during the season, but in the off season as well. They've played a lot of ball together as well. So I think they're really looking forward to the opportunity to kind of prove themselves. And like I said, step into those leadership roles.
Coach, I think what was interesting during the season is, you know, there were, you know, sisters that were seniors and freshmen. So, you know, like Taylor Cunningham and her younger sister who's freshman, Lexi and Kaylee. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like you're going to see those couple of girls that will be sophomores next year that learn from that senior class because, you know, they're around their sisters, you know, every day?
Yeah, those two especially. They've really had a front row seat to kind of the whole thing. I mean, they've been involved in it, and they've watched their sisters, and they've played with their sisters for a long time. So they know all the hard work it takes. They know all the extra effort that those girls have put into you know, staying and shooting after practice, and just the extra things that go into it, they're well aware because they've watched their sisters do it. So I think that that's going to be really big for us next year, is allowing those two and, you know, a couple of other girls as well, but really, you know, lead by example in that way, because they do know what it takes to be successful.
Taylor Scott, our guest. She's the new girls basketball coach at Emporia High School. Coach, you came to Emporia, obviously, to be a Hornet and to study there in the health performance and health performance science degree up at Emporia, and you've stayed. I was wondering, where does your love of basketball come from? Who gave you the love of basketball? I know you're a former Belle Plaine Dragon, I believe. Got you interested in basketball? And then if that's not the same person, who got you interested in maybe thinking, you know what, maybe I'd like to coach basketball one day? And obviously here you are.
I've just always really had a love of sports in general, and basketball was just always something that I loved to do and I loved to compete in. I don't know that there's necessarily one person in specific that kind of got me started into it, but, you know, I touched on this a little bit with Dylan the other day, but I've had a lot of really good coaches throughout the years, and that was starting from the time that I was little. You know, I had a coach in middle school, and Rochelle Klingon, and she taught me how to compete in a way that I could be a positive role model, because I was a fiery little girl. I love to scrap, and sometimes I think I didn't do the best job of, you know, lifting other people up. But, you know, ever since having her in middle school and Brant Brittingham in high school, man, they really just kind of paved the way for me of, hey, I want to be that positive role model that these people have been for me. So just kind of the coaches from my past have really inspired me to continue my love of the game in a way that I can give back to other people.
Well, being that scrapping mentality, that'll probably be helpful when you're trying to get your girls to be first to the floor, as you say. They'll have to take on that half of the personality.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Coach, last thing for you here as we go through this summer. Obviously, you know, in your first year with this program, putting a win total as a goal, that's not something that a lot of coaches do, and I'm not sure that that's even a positive or the right thing to do. But after your first year, what is going to make you feel like, okay, whether or not we made state or didn't win state or won the Centennial League or didn't win the Centennial League, what's going to make you feel like, you know what, we got Lady Spartan basketball to where it needs to be after year one of the Taylor Scott era?
Yeah, I'm going to be real honest with you. I mean, wins and losses haven't even crossed my mind. I just want to put a product on the floor that is going to represent our school well. And more than that, who these girls are and who they continue to be off of the floor is really what's the most important. You know, I have a pretty good relationship with all the kids that are returning and the kids that are coming up as well that are going to be freshmen. And it's a really good, great group of kids. They really care about other people. They want to work hard, not only on the court, but in their other sports that they do and in the classroom. So just making sure that we continue to represent our school well, have that academic success, and develop positive, caring young women. That's really, if I can do that and continue to have those girls want to come back and play more and more, then that's really how I'm going to judge my success by the end of the season.
Taylor Scott is the head girls basketball coach, the new basketball coach of the Lady Spartans. Coach, Dylan's really excited to get to work with you. We're excited to have you on, obviously, as part of our high school basketball coverage next season. Thank you so much for your time, and congratulations again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your kind words.
Taylor Scott appearing on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line. And like I said, Dylan, you're excited to work with her, and we're excited to get her on the air for some free games and more Saturday morning sports talks next season.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be working with Taylor. And I mentioned this on the morning show on Thursday morning, and this was the one that I thought that would be the front runner for this job. And luckily enough, I was right. But Bo Welch mentioned to me on Wednesday that this was a very intriguing job and a very good pool of candidates. But I think staying within and having someone that's familiar with the program, been on staff, it's in good hands.
Okay. You know, we will see, and certainly wish the best for her, and looking forward to talking with her a lot more on this program coming up here in the next basketball season. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We're bringing on Steve Roadcap. He is the assistant athletic director, and he'll be the meet director for Emporia State at the national championships. The NCAA Division II National Outdoor Track and Field Championships are coming to Emporia State University the weekend of Memorial Day. And we'll talk to him about that next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com on KVOE, live and local.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, why wait to get Memorial Day offers when you can get them today? Like a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 was $57,290, now only $49,835 with your trade-in. That's $74.55 off MSRP. Or lease a 2024 Chevy Blazer EV RS model for only $479 a month. Or save $1,000 off MSRP on a 2024 Chevy Trailblazer. Or get 1.9% APR with approved credit. And active duty, reserve, and retired military get an extra $500 bonus cash. You won't find a better deal anywhere than right here at Longmont Auto Plaza. So don't wait. Get great Memorial Day offers at Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia today or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Lease payments based on 36-month, 10,000 miles per year lease. $2,700 due signing with approved credit.
From ABC Sports, I'm Mark Remillard. NBA Conference semifinals out west, the Nuggets came storming back in Game 3 to beat the Timberwolves 117-90, avoiding going down 3-0 in the series and making it 2-1. Head coach Michael Malone said the game might be their best performance of these playoffs.
We finally played a game as close to 48 minutes. It might have been the best game of the playoffs for us, to be honest. I don't think we played great in the first round. We had moments, but in the playoffs, man, you got to start stringing quarters together, halves together.
Meanwhile, the Pacers look to avoid falling into a 3-0 hole last night, hosting the Knicks, all even in the final minute of the game, and Andrew Nembhard would bury the biggest shot of his life, worthy of Mike Breen's signature call.
Shot clock at 4. Nembhard's got to put it up. Step back. His three-pointer. Done! Nembhard knocks the three down!
On ESPN, that made it 109-106 Pacers. They held on to take Game 3 in Indianapolis, 111-106. Nembhard after the game on his shot.
My shots felt really good this whole playoffs, and I think I've been shooting it well. So felt confident stepping into those shots, and sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Canucks hosting the Oilers in Game 2, looking for a 2-0 series advantage, but Edmonton was having none of it. Knotted at 3 in overtime, 5 minutes in, Evan Bouchard would help the Oilers regain home ice advantage.
Bouchard stepped in and then shot it tipped home! Evan Bouchard let fly! And Edmonton has taken Game 2!
The final call on 630 CHED, 4-3 Oilers, the final. Game 3 in Boston between the Bruins and Panthers. With the series tied at 1, the Panthers would dominate the Bruins en route to a 6-2 win and a 2-1 series lead. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC Sports.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate. Or going to the grocery store for milk instead of buying your own cow. You know there's an easier and better way. Save up to 25% when you bundle home and auto with Allstate.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The good folks at Wendy's have a revolutionary new product for you. Introducing the new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. It's like a time machine that takes you all the way back to now, the year 2024. It's the classic, creamy, orangey flavor you remember. Dare I say, it's new timey. It's the flavor you grew up with, just all grown up. Head over to your local Wendy's establishment and get yours while supplies last. The new Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. Here for the now, for now.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Memorial Day weekend, not the only track and field event in the state. Obviously, the state track and field event down there for the high school state championships in Wichita. Not the only one going on. There's going to be one right here in Emporia, the NCAA Division II National Outdoor Track and Field Championships, which are going to be hosted at Welch Stadium this season and also in 2026. And here to talk about it, we have got Sports Information Director for Emporia State, Don Wiest, and Steve Roadcap, Emporia State Assistant Athletic Director, and he is one of the meet directors for the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field National Championships. Good morning, gentlemen. Good to have you aboard.
Good morning, Blake. Thanks for having us.
Steve, your first year at Emporia State, if you don't know, Steve Roadcap, longtime director of tennis at Marquette. How has year one at Emporia State gone, getting out of the coaching business and getting on to the athletic administration side?
Well, before we get started with that, Blake, I've had a front row seat as we approach our last home event on campus, and I've had a front row seat to a lot of the games that you've called, and just wanted to say thank you. Appreciate all the support that you've given to Hornet Athletics, and you've done an outstanding job representing our student athletes. So just really appreciate all you've done for that.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, year one in the chair is the voice of the Hornets, and everybody up there in Hyper and Kosover, they've been, you know, extremely helpful to me. Don has been extremely helpful. David Spafford, and you know, it's been an honor. There have been a lot of fun moments this year. I know that Coach Doty is still probably cursing the injuries, but that would have been fun. But it's been great to get to know Coach O and Coach Higgins. And I went up yesterday just trying to kind of make the rounds. And I think I was in Coach Billiter's office for about an hour yesterday. And he couldn't be more excited.
He's an easy guy to talk to, isn't he?
People have asked me about him. And I said, I don't think Coach Billiter and I are going to have any trouble filling Hornet Talk for half an hour. No trouble at all. I've been so lucky to be up there, and the guy, you know, because there are some coaches as you go through your career that you kind of have to, it's kind of like drawing, you know, poison from a wound. You have to work it out in order to talk to them and interview them. With Coach Doty, Coach Billiter, Coach O, and Coach Higgins, and even Coach Hill, the assistant Coach Hill for softball this year, not a problem talking to any of those people. So it's made my job really easy, Steve. I really appreciate them doing that.
Well, thanks for all you've done, Blake.
Well, I appreciate it.
So back to your question.
Yes.
Back to your question is, when I was coaching, I had the opportunity to be on an NCAA committee and actually chaired our tennis committee. And that was kind of my first steps into thinking and being approached about going into administration. Year one here at Emporia State has been outstanding. And I'll tell you one thing, and you're certainly one of those people, is the people that I've been able to work with, the people that are in the community, they have welcomed me, my family, with open arms, and that has made things in the transition so easy for me, just the engagement from people. And, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter where I go. I went to the DMV, and people were nice, and I was shocked.
Sure.
So it's been great. My first year has been great. Obviously, we're going to end with a bang here with the track and field championship. You know, it's kind of interesting when this bid went in, and the NCAA does that in so many years in advance.
Oh,
when
sure.
That bid went in, you know, it was a completely different staff. So we're dealing with all new people in our department that had nothing to do with the bid. We're really excited to host it, and we have the benefit of having guys like Don Wiest, who has a lot of experience, not only with Emporia State University, but with our track and field programs. And so I feel fortunate that I've been able to learn a lot about our programs through him. And then we also have Colleen Mitschke, who, you know, has served on the track, the D2 track and field committee, which has been a huge help as well. well. So
Topeka West,
we're surrounded,
Colleen, Mishki, I might add.
Yeah, so we're surrounded by people who have experience with this, but it's all hands on deck when you're running an event of this size.
I do want to ask you one follow-up question about you, and then we'll get on to the national championship. There are some coaches that when they're coaching, you know, they are in control of their program. That's what they do. And at the end, whether it's retirement or age, not being able to do it anymore, or in your case, just wanting to have a different challenge, sometimes it's hard to let those coaching reins go. How has that adjustment been of not being in, you know, action, coaching your guys day in and day out on the tennis court?
That's been probably the hardest part of it. I was a pretty relational coach, and I really appreciated and enjoyed those relations. I loved recruiting, too.
Sure.
Just attracting, you know, these young student-athletes who, you know, and they all aspire to be great, right? And so to the recruiting part of it and the relation side of it, I miss a ton. I miss the day-to-day on the court as well. But I found it in other areas. And I was fortunate that the majority of our coaches here that I've been able to build a relationship with, you know, I'm still around the student athletes. I get to meet with recruits. I get to, you know, try to help on a bigger perspective or a bigger level than I did as just my own program, and try to have a little bit with several different programs. And you mentioned Coach Hill, softball, you know, acting head coach, and, you know, her going through it for the first time made me really excited, you know, because she would pop by the office and ask questions, and those relational things are equally as valuable as the ones that I had with my student athletes.
Steve Rodkap is with us, assistant athletic director, meet director of the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field National Championships. Also Don Wiest, Emporia State Sports Information Director. You guys talked about the bid. When did this bid go in? How long? Because this is a long, you know, this isn't something that the NCAA just hands out. You know, they don't work a year in advance on things like this. This is a long process, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, it is. We actually, Steve Blocker and I started working on it in February of 2020.
Wow. Okay.
So that's kind of gives you an idea of where it was. Steve at the time was like, we needed to do something to energize his program a little bit. And that was one of the things he thought, maybe we could do that. And we put in the bid, and believe it or not, we got accepted, and things have changed a lot. That bid, I could show, I don't know if Steve's seen the original bid, but like the budget for that is a lot different now than it was then.
Sure, I can imagine. Yeah, that would have been a whole different universe back in February of 2020. What's been the biggest thing that's changed about the bid from then to now, in your estimation?
I think probably just the realization of what we needed to do to put on the meet. Blocker and I knew how to put on track meets, but the national meet and all that stuff, I think there's just been a lot more stuff involved in that now than what there had been at the time.
Steve, you've talked a lot about, and people who have talked about this, and we've had you guys on several of our other programs, but what is the biggest challenge in terms of the logistics of putting on a national championship meet? Because like Don said, you know, it's one thing to host the ESU relays. It's one thing to host the ESU relays for the high school kids. But when you've got the best of the best coming in, obviously there's a lot of organization that needs to go on because you're dealing with so many different schools. But also, I'm sure that there's some sort of pressure because you want – it's a national championship. It should feel even bigger than the ESU relays do because this is the national championship. This is what these student athletes work their entire, not just season, but for some of them, this is their entire career they've put into this event.
Blake, you make an outstanding point. Anything that certainly that I do, and I think our staff feels the exact same way, we want to provide an elite experience for these student athletes. You know, for the majority of them, this will be the biggest track meet that they ever run in. So we want to make sure that we provide a level of excellence for them in being able to do that. So when you talk about challenges or obstacles, I really don't see that, you know, because we really just need to all come together. And that's kind of how we've operated this thing. We started with an org chart. Colleen, Mitchke and I sat down and we created an org chart and tried to match people's strengths with responsibilities for the track meet. What you come to find out when you're running this is it's not just your athletic department that's going to provide this championship experience for these student athletes. It's everyone on campus. So there's a lot of people. If you look at our, you know, our rec center people, our student recreation center folks, they've opened their buildings. They welcomed us with open arms to make that happen. Then you're dealing with, you know, our police chief. You know, you're dealing with, you know, our facilities people who, you know, I mean, they're carrying a lot of weight of making this championship special. So there's a lot of people externally that work at the university that aren't tied to our athletic department per se that deserve a lot of credit too, because we need their help and it becomes extremely critical.
And it's interesting that you mention help. We're talking with Steve Rodkap, Emporia State Assistant Athletic Director, and Don Wiest, Sports Information Director for E-State. The National Track and Field Championships are starting the weekend of Memorial Day weekend here in Emporia, Thursday through Saturday. But one thing that puts them on, that helps put on events like this, and I just talked with Jackie over at the Dynamic Discs Open about this, is volunteers. So sometimes the people that are helping your event, it's not just on campus, it's the entire city, isn't it?
I just know that Don Wiest has access to that volunteer list, and his name came up earlier. But let's make sure that Coach Blocker, who put this bid, is number one on that list. If he's not on there, we need to call him immediately and make sure he's on there. But if you go to ESUHornets.com, there's a splash page there that's just dedicated for the track and field championship, and there's a link on there that you can volunteer. We need volunteers to make this event work.
What are the kinds of things that you're looking for volunteers to do? If somebody's got time that weekend, wants to make that a part of their Memorial Day weekend, what are the kinds of things that you're looking for?
And we can kind of match that to what, you know, the volunteer wants. But there's hospitality rooms that need to be staffed. There's people who need to rake sand pits. We have to set up for the student rec center, because that's where our hospitality for our student athletes are going to be. So there's a plethora of opportunities.
Ticket scanners, making sure we're getting in. Okay.
Sure.
Making sure one of the things that's different from this meet than a lot of meets that we normally run here is our meets are self-clerking meets, meaning that, you know, the athletes just check themselves in and are ready to go, put their own HIP numbers, all that. This is a little bit more organized on how we do that, where people flow, the flow of people from one place to the other. And we really, because it is a championship event, you want to kind of have a little bit more segregation between your student athletes and your fans, so there's not as much there.
Sure.
You need to have some people just being there, making sure that the right people are in the right place. That's all you're doing, is checking a credential to make sure that's right.
We're at 9 o'clock. If you guys are free, I'm gonna just keep going. I think there's a lot of more stuff that we can cover here. How much coordination goes into working with you guys, because you guys are helping to run the event, you guys are the host of the event, but I'm assuming that the NCAA is going to have several personnel that are going to be there. How do you guys coordinate the event between Emporia State and the NCAA?
Well, that's a good question. So Denisha Carter with the NCAA, she is the track liaison that from the NCAA that is here. They all show up on Monday the week prior to start organizing. They've been outstanding to work with, especially for me. And they, you know, the NCAA sometimes doesn't get enough credit. But when we were talking about the budget earlier and things like that, they allow you to adjust things. But coming into this championship, Denisha reminded me, okay, you're going to get a lot of shipments in. Okay, you're running an event with, you know, close to 800 athletes in it.
Wow.
And so you're going to get a lot of shipments in. And so I, you know, you just take notes, okay, a lot of shipments. And I could show you a picture, Blake, if we were on TV, I'd show you, of the amount of pallets that arrived even last night, okay?
What are these up?
It's all equipment. It's trophies. It's awards.
Wow.
And then on Monday, and this is another good volunteering opportunity. So next week there will be, or the following week, Gill, which is the provider of all the track equipment, They'll have three semi-trucks pull up to campus, and they'll start unloading all this track equipment from hurdles to pits to because it's all branded, you know, NCAA.
Okay.
So all this stuff has to be shipped in.
Sure.
The ad track banners that go around the track, that's on a different semi that comes in and drops off. So when we're talking about a lot of different units on campus that – you know, have to help us run this. I'm being sincere when I say that. So it takes a village to make
sure.
This thing happen.
It takes an army, yeah. It sounds like. Steve Roadcap with us, Assistant Athletic Director at ESU, and Don Wiest, ESU Sports Information Director. Looking at, you said, over 800 athletes. How many schools? Do we know the approximate number of schools they're going to be participating?
Okay, well, the way that track and field set up at Division II is you have to meet a qualifying standard.
Sure.
So it could be you could have one athlete from a school show up, or
right.
You could have 25. So you're really not going to know that. It could be any of the 170, I think, that are nationally ranked right now, meaning someone who's got an athlete that has hit a provisional mark. But it'll be 377 men, 377 women. That is the hard and fast number.
And there's, I know that this is kind of the last chance qualifier weekend, yep. And Emporia State, I think, got seven more provisionals in nine events, and their event on Friday. So hopefully a couple of extra Hornets. And I know that you've said, Don, that should be a pretty strong Hornet presence at these national championships.
It should be. I mean, a really good one, a lot better than we've had in the last few years. I think we've probably got six for sure right
okay.
now, if you would have to say it. Our relay team is kind of on the bubble a little bit. There's a couple others. It just depends on how things go. One of the weird things about track is you can look at those performance lists, but that's everything you've ever done during the season. So you may have someone that was qualified in four events, but they're only going to try and compete in two of them. So that moves somebody up a spot.
Sure.
So we've got a few people that are on the outside there. We could have 10 come in maybe if we get lucky. So it'll be an exciting time. Last night was great. Trendon Collins also plays football for the Hornets. He went over 7 foot last night in the high jump, probably punched his ticket back here. So
awesome.
Just a, you know, it's hard to tell though when you're asking about, you know, how many schools, all
sure.
that. And that's one of the weird logistics things you're trying to deal with. It's like, if we're hosting the softball World Series, we did that back in 96, you know you're going to have eight teams come in, there's going to be 30 people in their travel party, everything was set. Now you don't know what's going to happen. Is Grand
sure.
Valley going to bring in 30 people? Is Pitt State going to bring in 30 people? Is, you know, Academy of Art going to bring in 15 from L.A.? Is Westchester going to bring in one from Pennsylvania? I mean, it's going to be from all over the place.
Well, how much do you have to, Steve, kind of engage with community partners? Because you've got all these people coming in. I mean, I'm assuming they're all going to need a place to stay. They're all going to need, you know, where are these people going to sleep? Do we have enough hotel rooms? How do we organize, you know, everything outside the meet and try to work with the city to make Emporia feel as accommodating as it can for an event of this size?
Well, it has a great economic impact on the community.
Oh, I can imagine.
So that's really important for us, because anything we want to do, we want the community to benefit from it and be involved with it. The hotel situation, you mentioned that, is that's probably the toughest part for us.
I can imagine.
Is because when you, as Don said, the number of athletes, and then, you know, they're traveling with a trainer and a few coaches. So, I mean, it's – and then all these – kids or student athletes' families are coming in. They want to see this. So,
of course.
Yeah, the fan side of it as well. So we have people staying up in Topeka. We have people staying in, you know, towards Ottawa and Olathe and all the areas.
El Dorado, everywhere.
Sure. Okay. Looking at your responsibilities, what you've said several times, you know, you're the meet director, Colleen's another meet director. What is a meet director's responsibility? Obviously, you've been getting a lot of stuff in line before the meet, and then I'm assuming that those responsibilities do not end when the meet starts on Thursday the 23rd.
No, those don't end, and they probably don't even end when the meet ends.
Sure.
Because there's a whole process. All that equipment has to go back, and budgets have to be submitted, and so there's it's going to be it just doesn't, those 3 days are, you know, the important component to it for the student athletes. But you know, my role in it, and I don't necessarily believe in titles, because, and I feel, you know, if I need something from Don Wiest is going to jump in and help, even if it's outside of, you know, his realm. It's all hands on deck, and we all just try to, you know, if there's something that needs to be done, you got to jump in and get it done, and that's the important part of it. And you know, that's why I feel so fortunate we have, you know, a hardworking staff that's excited to put on this event.
It's going to be open parking around Welch Stadium if you are thinking about going there Memorial Day weekend. And for the spectators, I know that there's been a lot of talk of, okay, hey, make sure that you're sitting on the east side because the west side's closed and they've been working on it. Well, the west side's open now, and there's still more changes that will be coming before football season. But I know that for a number of people have talked to me that they are most excited about the handrails, which will be there at Welch Stadium, but also new bleachers on the west side.
Yeah, there's been a lot of projects that have been done for this championship. We haven't mentioned today. I'm sure it's been brought up, but we resurfaced the track.
Yes.
And then there's a new throws area that was constructed about a year ago, right, Don?
We actually put that in this fall.
Yeah,
we got all the equipment in.
I saw somebody had a picture of like the new backstop for the
shot put that just went in this week. Yeah, but the throws area is out for the discus and hammer out in the throws fields. We got that equipment in last summer and then put that in during the fall.
It's just north of Hyper,
the northeast area there.
Yeah, sure.
Northeast area out there, which is again, it's a great facility for it. One of the interesting things last year at Pueblo at the javelin area, they didn't have enough room for the javelin. They were throwing so far, so they were throwing and it would come up in dirt beyond that. So our area is not a problem there. We have plenty of room out there. We did have to go through, though, and level some of that out. There was a little bit of a crown out there.
Okay.
Had to make sure things were a little bit smoother out there, so that's been something that's been done. Again, the shot put, we just redid that, like I said, with the new retaining wall out there, the bleachers themselves, the sidewalks and the concrete work in the stadium that was done, and that's all thanks to City of Emporia, the City Commission voting on that to give us $400,000 to help with that. We'll have new lights. The new lights are in now.
Which I've seen the new lights from spring football, and it's night and day different from the old lights. I think it's going to make a huge difference just for visibility when you come out to watch Emporia High football, Emporia State football for the night games that they play there. You're going to immediately see the difference.
And it does at night, too, when we're running track meets, too, because Eric Wellman from Black Squirrel Timing, who's our timer, does all our normal meets. He's all over the place. I mean, he's down in Waco right now doing conference is down there now, their conference meet.
Sure.
And he said these were the best lights he's ever seen.
Wow.
For timing a meet at. So it's amazing with all that. There's a lot of stuff that have gone into that.
So there's plenty of new things to see out at the track meet. It starts Thursday the 23rd, 10 a.m. The doors open at 9. It'll be open 1 hour before events each day, and it'll be the multi-events for the most part in the morning. But then, Don, you had mentioned that kind of the track event, which is kind of the marquee events of any track meet, those start at 4:45. That's when the national anthem gets played, and that's when the track, you know, portion of the event gets started at 4:45 there on Thursday, the 23rd.
Yeah, most of the things that would happen then inside Welch Stadium would happen in the evening. That's kind of the way to do it on Thursday and Friday, and then we'll start in the afternoon on Saturday.
Sure. And then, Steve, you had mentioned that tickets are available at the ESUHornets.com website, and you've got session passes, and then you've got championship passes available as well.
Yeah, so they're single-day tickets for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If you plan on coming out all week, it's probably a better financial deal for you to go ahead and get the all-session pass.
The single-day session is $15 for an adult, $10 for students and senior citizens,
okay,
and then the all-session pass is $30 for adults and then $20 for students and
okay,
seniors.
So, yeah, you definitely get your money back on that if you are planning to be there every single day. The National Outdoor Track and Field Championships starting on Thursday the 23rd, wrapping up on Saturday the 25th at Welch Stadium. And then, Steve, the best part, you'll get to just – put it away, and then 2 years later, you'll be doing it again. How about that?
Well, that'll be exciting. I think we'll be even more prepared the second time around, but we look forward to this year and the student athletes coming in.
Guys, thanks so much. Steve Roadcap, ESU Assistant Athletic Director, Don Wiest, Sports Information Director of Emporia State. And want to remind you that there is an article series going on right now. I believe it's 22 events in 22 days on the ESUHornets.com website. So if you want more information about some of the history of the tournament, Don's putting out kind of a one-pager on one event each day leading up to the national championships with Emporia State history, national meet history, stadium history. Don, you've got a lot of history in these things.
Who the leaders are, just to get a little bit of an idea. And there are some elite-level athletes. I mean, there will be some of the people that are competing here that will be in Paris this summer.
Wow. That's kind of blows your mind to think about, Steve, when you've got Olympic-level athletes that, you know, we're going to be watching on NBC this summer probably.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is you don't have to be no track, love track, to be able to enjoy this national event. You come out, it's exciting. The athletes, as Don just mentioned, are excellent. So it just come on out. It's going to be a great time. We look forward to putting on a great show.
Guys, have a great championship. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Blake.
Thanks, Blake.
Steve Roadcap and Don Wiest here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Just a quick look at our KVOE sports calendar coming up today. It's Royals at the Angels. Kansas City looking for a series win tonight, 8 o'clock on KVOE with the first pitch at 8:38. Also want to remind you, if you hear some things that maybe aren't 100% working like they're supposed to today, we're testing some things out, making some program changes, like we said. I don't think the public has been told about this, but we're going to be introducing the Infinity Sports Network on the weekends starting next week. So you're going to hear some things move around. It's going to be a little bit different. And most of the programming that you like on the weekend, Around the House, Car Doctor, that isn't going anywhere. Now, maybe in a slightly different time, and it's going to mostly be on Saturday instead of Sunday, but there are a few things in the back of the rack here that we're going to try to get figured out. So at 10 o'clock today, if Around the House isn't there, just know that we're here and working on it. So hopefully, you know, just understand that there might be a few wires that we got to cross and get rewired and things like that. We'll be testing that out today. So that's my plan for the weekend. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Dylan, same to you. Have a great weekend, sir.
I will be at graduation tomorrow. So
yeah, you'll be at graduation tomorrow.
KVOE TV. If you can't make it to White tomorrow, I'll start the stream about 2:50-ish.
Okay, 2:50 on KVOE TV tomorrow. Dylan will have you for the Emporia High graduation coming up tomorrow.
And congratulations to all the Emporia State graduates today.
Of course, the Emporia State graduating today as well. This is KVOE Emporia. Thanks for listening. Blake Cripps, have a good afternoon.
96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia, AM 1400 KVOE Emporia.